I believe that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney have led the country into a perilous cul-de-sac, but they did not do it alone, and removing them from office will not necessarily solve the problem. The crisis of government in the United States has been building at least since World War II. The emergence of the imperial presidency and the atrophying of the legislative and judicial branches have deep roots in the post-war military-industrial complex, in the way broad sectors of the public have accepted the military as our most effective public institution, and in aberrations in our electoral system. The interesting issue is not the damage done by Bush, Cheney, and their followers, but how they were able to get away with it, given the barriers that exist in the Constitution to prevent just the sorts of misuses of power for which they have become notorious. Historian Carol Burkin, in her book, A Brilliant Solution, Inventing the Constitution, argues that the nation's founders, including George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Governor Morris of Pennsylvania, and dozens of others, envisioned a supreme legislative branch as the heart and soul of America's central government. America's modern presidency, with all its trappings, would be unimaginable to men like Madison, Washington, and Franklin. Of all those historic figures at the 1787 Constitutional Convention, perhaps only Alexander Hamilton would relish today's playing of Hail to the Chief. The intent of the founders was to prevent a recurrence of the tyranny they had endured under Britain's King George III. They bent all their ingenuity and practical experience to preventing tyrannies of one, of the few, of a majority, of the moneyed classes, or of any other group that might obtain and exercise unchecked power, often adopting institutional precedents from the Roman Republic. Inspired by the French political philosopher Montesquieu's discussion of the separation of powers in his On the Spirit of the Laws, published in 1748, the drafters of the American Constitution produced a sophisticated scheme to balance power in a republic. The most basic structure they chose was federalism, setting up the states as alternatives to and limitations on the power of the national government. Congress was given that quintessential parliamentary power, control of the budget, without which it would be merely an ornamental body like the People's Congresses in communist-dominated countries. Congress was also charged with initiating all legislation, making the final decision to go to war, and, if necessary, getting rid of an unsatisfactory president by impeachment, something also achievable through periodic elections. To moderate the power of Congress somewhat, the Constitution divided it into two quite differently elected and apportioned houses, each capable of vetoing the other's decisions.